This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Bonnie North. Last year, the ACLU sued the city of Milwaukee based on the police department's stop and frisk program. An analysis of police stops in Milwaukee found significant racial bias in who was being stopped and the areas where the stops were happening.
A settlement has been reached, which is requiring significant reforms in how the Milwaukee Police Department performs and documents their work. Gretchen Schult is the executive director of the Wisconsin Justice Initiative, which has been closely following the case. Gretchen, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So let's just start here. What was the basis for the ACLU's lawsuit against the city?
The Milwaukee Police Department was stopping Black and Latinx residents without any articulable, is that how you say it? suspicion that they could articulate. So you need a reason to stop and search someone and stop and frisk someone under the Constitution. And their stops, according to the ACLU lawsuit, were unconstitutional. The city denied that.
The city denied that, but we actually spoke about this before. What were some of the examples that came up when we were looking at the situations that the ACLU cited?
I pulled some of the documents. So this is from one of the plaintiffs who, by the way, were not looking for money. They didn't get money. They were looking for a change in policy and to make the Milwaukee Police Department more compliant with law, a better police department. So this man is talking about his son, and there's three separate stops he describes. But the first one occurred when his son was a fifth grader, and he was on a porch of a friend holding a cell phone. Milwaukee police stopped him, took him to a squad car, put him up against the squad car, and frisked him just because he was on a porch with a cell phone. That's the kind of stops that we're talking about, totally without any reason other than there was a minority person somewhere out on the street, out in public. That was the justification for the stop.
I know the ACLU cited a number of these kinds of things, but many of them being, you know, wrong time of day or night, something that they call race out of place.
Wrong neighborhood. The total numbers are between 2010 and 17. In 2017, Milwaukee Police Department recorded more than 350,000 pedestrian and traffic stops, for which they have no record of reasonable suspicion. Black people in Milwaukee were more than six times likely to be subject to traffic or pedestrian stops than were white people. But searches of Black and Latinx drivers were more than 20% less likely to lead to the discovery of contraband. So you can see the disproportionality in both ways, signaling something was grossly out of place.
Yeah. So the ACLU reached a settlement with the city.
Yes.
And there are a lot of different reforms that they were looking for, and it seems like a lot of reforms that the city has agreed to.
Yes, and the judge has approved the settlement. So we're all set to go. There's a lot that the city has to do. For example, they have to, in very much detail, document pedestrian and traffic stops. But they have totally separate databases for pedestrian and traffic stops. So somehow they have to learn to talk to each other. The ACLU told me that the officer rate of just completing the documentation was very, very low, and that was without consequence. So there has to be a whole new set of training. Because so many people were blown off when they tried to complain about these unconstitutional stop and frisks, that their complaint process is going to be overhauled. Police and the Fire and Police Commission will be no longer able to blow off complaints. They can't require that complaints be notarized, which they were doing. I keep thinking, why would you need to have a complaint notarized? you go to Kohl's, file a complaint, ask for a return, and have to hand in a notarized form? I mean, really, there's just a ton of work ahead for the city and the ACLU and the consultant that the city agreed to hire to help them do this and to report. And they will be reporting on civilian stops and civilian complaints, and they'll be required to get the community much more involved. It's a very extensive, far-reaching settlement.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many ways in which they're being asked to reform the department, but in some ways it seems as though these rules should have and probably were already in place inside of the department. Specifically, you look at policies that would make it clear that officers can't only rely on observations like the appearance or demeanor of the person, hours of the day or night where they're out. You would imagine that these were already rules at the department.
You had a lot of justification. The department would say, but people in these neighborhoods are begging for police presence and begging for safety. And that kind of justified, no matter what their written policy, the culture of stop and frisk. To me, it's like saying, well, much embezzlement occurs by lower-ranking people in a position of trust who are ticked off about something. They feel like they're underpaid or something. Does that mean, and they often go to casinos, does that mean anyone who has money handling responsibilities and goes to a casino can be stopped just because they have, you know, so no matter what, because there's a minority somewhere is not a reasonable suspicion. It's just not. But I'm sorry, getting back to your question, I'm not exactly sure what rules were on paper. Those were not the rules being lived by the Milwaukee Police Department.
So how does this settlement ensure that they're following the rules? How do the courts, how does the community keep them accountable?
There will be much more community input. There was a committee of community groups established when the Department of Justice report came out on the Milwaukee Police Department to get community input. The settlement requires that committee be maintained, and it will report to the Fire and Police Commission.
And that's the Milwaukee Collaborative Community Commission?
Yes, thank you. There will be public reporting. There will be reports that Judge Stadtmiller, Federal Judge, U.S. District Judge Stadtmiller, is maintaining control over it for purpose of enforcement. And there will be a consultant who's allowed to request data. And there will be public reporting like Milwaukee has never seen. I'm really looking forward to those first reports that will be published on the Fire and Police Commission website. And there will be the Fire and Police Commission will be required to conduct audits of complaints and reporting. So I'm very hopeful. I just hope the police department is sincere in its efforts to implement.
And they're being required to collect a lot of detailed information that it seems as though maybe they weren't required to before, or they just weren't. What kind of information do they need to have for each stop now, pedestrian and traffic?
I'm trying to remember the details. There was a lot.
There's a lot, yeah.
Demographic information, location, the reason for the stop, the results of the stop, whether there was a ticket, a no process, or they just let the person go, an arrest, you name it, they have to report it.
When it comes to training complaint investigators, you know, people felt as though they were blown off by them.
From what I've been told, at times the police would treat complainants very badly. So the settlement contains specific language prohibiting things like asking hostile questions, applying moral judgments related to the dress, grooming, income, lifestyle, or criminal histories, giving police testimony greater weight than that of the complainants, and providing summary reports that add information totally unrelated to the complaint. So eliminating that kind of stuff should be a step forward in giving complainants more credibility and evening the playing field a little bit between the police and the complainants.
So the Milwaukee Police Department agreed to these terms in the settlement.
Well, the city of Milwaukee did.
The city of Milwaukee.
I am sure if you ask the average cop on the beat, I can imagine that this is going to be quite a change in the way they do their jobs and a lot more paperwork, only it will be computerized, that there will be some unhappiness. But really, if they were doing it right in the first place, they wouldn't be in this position. There have been concerns I've heard, because we've written about it on our website, that crime will go up as a result. There's no evidence of that. New York also had a stop and frisk lawsuit. Their activity has dropped a lot, their stop and frisk activity, but crime has not risen in response. So as a precedent, we're looking to that and assuming the same thing will happen, but I guess we'll all find out.
Yeah. Well, Gretchen, thank you so much for coming in and speaking with me today.
Sure, thank you.
Gretchen Schult is the executive director of the Wisconsin Justice Initiative. There's more coverage on the ACLU's lawsuit at WUWM.com.